their name. Rather than simply finding success in spiritual understanding by reading, particularly this refers to reading the original Sanskrit scripture itself. In our case, we have not just the scripture, but the purports by Srila Prabhupada. So that gives us his association. But specifically, there is emphasis on the hearing process. So I'm going to point out some of the places where this appears in Chapter 1, and I'm going to be calling this, in the course of today's discussion, as the theme, or a theme, not the theme, but a theme in this first canto, and in fact in the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Consider what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. Srimad Bhagavatam is the speaking of Shukadeva Goswami to the great king Maharaj Pariksit as he's about to depart the world, describing the glories of the Lord. So hearing the topics about the personality of Godhead Krishna. Hearing means there's at least two persons, the person who's speaking and the one who's hearing what is being spoken. Sachi, the conversation in the hall is okay. Yeah. So I'm going to point to a couple of verses in chapter 1, starting with text 15. O Sutta, those great sages, looking at chapter 1, text 15. Those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. So, at once they can sanctify. This process of hearing is part of one of the questions. That is, there are so many things that are mentioned in the scripture that are valuable for making spiritual progress. Of those so many things, please sort it all out and tell us which is the most valuable. So many things can be beneficial. Of those so many things, the most beneficial is this hearing process. And one can at once get lifted to the transcendental position, not just the gradual, like the bathing in the Ganga. This, the other references we'll see, they have to do with the performance of varnashram duties. Just like it's found in the question itself, which is on page 71, text 11. You look at the purport. The Varna and Ashram, the second paragraph. The Varna and Ashram Society was considered to be the best institution for uplifting the human being to the spiritual platform. But, in this age of Kali, it's not possible for people to do everything. This Varnashram system is for gradual upliftment. Therefore, what is the most direct and of prime benefit? That is hearing. So there has to be association. Just like here, association. Or as we'll hear in chapter 2, the gradual stages of progress. Beginning with some preliminary desire and then hearing from saintly personalities. Another look at page text 16, page 76. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? So the hearing is again emphasized. The verse number 10, which is an often quoted verse, very important in chapter 1, is describing the ills of the age of Kali. What's bad about the age of Kali can be counteracted, text 16 says, by hearing from a qualified speaker. One who is eager, hearing from the right person, the right source. so that all the vices, all the bad things can be diminished, eliminated, the first chapter is saying, by this hearing process. Prabhupada's purport is saying, he starts on the global scale or government scale, and then down to an individual. If I as an individual or someone who is the Brahmana or the Kshatriya, they can take full benefit by this hearing process, delivering one from vices. So this chapter one, I'm concluding my summary statements here by saying this chapter one is setting the stage for explaining how this takes place, how to mitigate the ill features of the age of Kali. So we're going to hear a lot about how it's done. So the beginning of chapter 2, we'll make these chapter sections, or little within the chapter, little sections. The first four verses are dealing with two primary topics. One is offering proper respect, offering proper respect to Sukadeva Goswami. The speaker here is Suta. His qualification is that he has heard from Sukadeva, and he's exhibiting his qualification by offering respect to Sukadeva. Before speaking, one offers respect to the persons from whom one has gained what one has learned. So that's the first business, offering obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami. And then he's also going to here glorify, but the subject matter, he's glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. As we pointed out yesterday, there's just a hint that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. In these first four verses, it says it directly, that this is is the ripened fruit of Vedanta Sutra. That is just like you have a green fruit or a little seed-like thing growing on the end of a tree branch. When it's fully grown and ripened, the form of it may look a little different, but it's the same thing, just fully ripened. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of Vedanta Sutra. But another thing that's being said is because this Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, therefore, just this one thing of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam can deliver one all perfection of life. Not the text itself. Again, this is the emphasis on what I'm calling the theme. That is, or a theme. That is, hearing, literally, not just in a figurative speech, literally, hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam has its special effect because it was first heard from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. So this is an indirect way of offering respect to Sukadeva Goswami, but it's also citing a very specific glory of Srimad Bhagavatam itself, which Sutta Goswami is going to be, after this invocation, he's going to start delivering. And another very important point in our Vaishnava understanding is that all the qualifications that one can obtain by some other process, any of the other gradual processes, is included in the benefit that is coming from the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, specifically, the qualifications of a Brahmana, the qualifications of Vipra, is already included. Just to refer to the situation, assembled at the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam were so many Brahmanas and so many Vipras. The list comes later on when Sukadeva Goswami appears. A Vipra means they're learned in a very specific field, some specific aspect of the Vedas. And Brahmana means they're very conversant in the scripture. So one who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam becomes decorated with those qualities automatically. This is a very important understanding in our Gaudiya Vaishnava practices, because we'll hear this idea expanded later in the chapter. Anyone is eligible, specifically, it's described. And whatever disqualification or lack of qualification, it comes by the process of hearing itself. if one is has these three qualifications that we mentioned yesterday. There, does anybody remember what those three are? Akilabar, the book. Not looking.
Oh.
No.
I saw it too.
Okay, someone else.
Come on. Three criminal vices. For hearing.
Arjun Prabhu.
Sincerity. Submissiveness. And careful seeking out of the speaker.
Okay. Right. So sincerity means the hearer genuinely wants to know what the conclusion is. Submissive means when they hear that conclusion, they're ready to do something with it, to act on it, and that they're hearing from the right source. So one who has those qualifications becomes decorated with all brahminical quality by becoming Vaishnav. One becomes Vaishnav, one becomes free from the vices, the bad things of this age of Kali, by this theme, hearing the topics about the personality of Godhead. Okay, so that's the little invocation. Then Sutta Goswami begins. Of course, text 4, he's offering his obeisances to Naranarayan Rishi, the goddess Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva. So then he begins. Now I'm going to say that the next section is section, the verses are 5 through 10. So did anybody in the room here find any of the answers to the questions by the sages in these verses 5 through 10? Show of hands. Okay.
Specifically in verse 6, the answer to the first question.
Okay, it was a good clue because Prabhupada said it right in the fifth word. Okay, so now explain. That was the question, what's the answer? Summarize.
The question was, what is the supreme occupation? I can't remember the question. The essence of all the scriptures.
Right.
So the essence is that, doing that, where we can attain devotional service to Krishna.
Okay. Now, did anybody find any problem with this one? I did. Anybody else? Acharya?
No problem, except I extended it up to text 16, and I included in there.
Okay.
That's
one point. I also did. There's one verse. Whoops, now we have to give away another answer. There's one verse in that group up through 16 that has something else in it besides just this one, right?
I didn't get that.
Okay.
Mark?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but he said that question number 2 was, what's the essence of all things?
That's right.
Number 1 was intense.
That's the problem that I had.
What was the question?
We'll do it again. If you look in the first canto, you'll find the first question is, explain what is all good for everybody, all gone good for the welfare of people in general. Then the next question, 2, is summarize all the statements of the scripture and put it in one short statement. What is the essential teaching that is coming from all of the scripture? Now, Prabhupada says in the purport to text 6 that this is the answer to the first question. Then he also says that it's the summary of the statements of all the scriptures. That's where I had a problem. So you can there are other, the time factor is limited. If you look at the question, which is chapter 1.
Prabhupada rewords the first question in a different
way. It seems that he's merged the first two questions.
Yes. So they're very interchangeable, because the process of the answer to the first question what is the all-around good for everybody, everywhere, is hearing the topics of the personality of Godhead. Because that's what Maharaj Pariksit was engaged in by Shukadeva Goswami. He asked that question also. I said that at the end of this chapter, Maharaj Pariksit asks the sages, and then he also asks again Shukadeva Goswami, two different verses. What's the best thing for everybody? And also specifically, what's the best thing to do for someone who's about to die? The all-around good for everyone. Hearing, to be engaged in the process of hearing topics. So that's the first of the first step in devotional service. But then, in these verses, 6 through 10, I'm deliberately skipping 5, we'll come back. In 6 through 10, and then 12 through 16, there's a lot of information about Dharma. The perfection of Dharma is devotional service. What is real duty? Because we find in... Now you can flip through the book or just listen to what I'm saying. But in chapter 1, text 11, the question appears. There's so many varieties of scriptures. Describe the essence of what it says in the scriptures. In the purport, Prabhupada speaks about Dharma. There's Varnashram Dharma, and there's so many duties or occupational activities that have to be performed in order to attain perfection of life. So that which brings one to the most directly to the perfection of life is devotional service. So it's kind of, they're blended into one, or one can be reversed with the other. There's other details. You look at text 11 in chapter 1, it ends, yenatma supersedati. And you look at the end of chapter 6, the question in chapter, the answer in chapter 2, text 6, yenatma supersedati. And there are other little points which we don't have time for. But, I'm comfortable to go ahead either way, so we'll just question 1. If we take it that question 1 is found from chapter 9, excuse me, text 9, that is, what is the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general? That's very similar to Maharaj Pariksit's question, so to keep that kind of consistency, because we'll come to that later on, hearing and chanting the messages of the personality of Godhead, topics about the personality of Godhead. And what is it that the scripture teaches, because the scripture teaches so many duties to be performed, devotional service, how to dedicate all your activities. So, text 5, it's not that Vyasadeva is only doing one thing at a time, many things are being accomplished simultaneously by his composition. So we're focusing on the questions and answers to some extent right now. He's indicating that same, only look at the translation for text 5, chapter 2. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. So what is good, the all-around absolute good for everyone, the world's welfare, is accomplished by the topics. So, Oral Gaya, you can write it on the boards. Topics, hearing topics of the personality of Godhead. Right. Okay, so... Now, so there's some hint. Whenever we're hearing that in general, the process of putting forward a question, hearing directly the answer, the stressing the importance of this hearing and discussing topics about Krishna, this is the answer to the first question asked by the sages as a theme. And I'll point out in this chapter 2 several places where the theme as a refrain comes again and comes again and comes again. So then, What is the essence of the scripture? Then that is to say, what is our primary duty? So you could say our primary duty is to hear topics about Krishna. But specifically, these verses 6 through 16, and there is one verse that falls in the middle there, that's text 11, has a slightly different purpose to it. But it's describing the answer to question 2. What is it that Scripture is teaching us? Most essential teaching from the Scripture. Engage in devotional service. So the breakdown is directly found in text 6. Prabhupada is indicating in the purport, the path of Nivritti Marg is being indicated by Sutta. What is that Nivritti Marg? Set aside material attraction, and in its place, try to satisfy Krishna. So this is addressed in several ways in the verses that follow. Text 7 is giving us a further elaboration on this point that everyone is eligible. When one becomes a Vaishnava, he immediately becomes qualified like a Brahmana or a Vipra. So text 7 is saying the same. Everyone is eligible. And whatever qualification we need, this is a very important point Prabhupada makes in his purport, whatever qualification we need to advance further comes by the process of devotional service itself, specifically jnana and vairagya. Both of these are very important to know how to act properly and to become detached from the vices of this age. That comes by the process of devotional service itself. Then the next verse is kind of linking the two. The process of devotional service, that is, you have some occupation, you're performing that occupation for Krishna, but unless you have an attraction for this first one, you left out a letter, unless you have an attraction for hearing, not hearing, then so much waste of time. So the theme again appears. Hearing must be a fruit of our devotional service, for our devotional service to be considered as successful. I mean, this has so many practical applications. Then it deals, the 9 and 10 directly deal what about our material desires. So right away, if their devotional service should not be performed for the fulfilling of some material desire or for some material gain. And if the material gain comes, it should never be employed for sense gratification. Then what should it be employed for? The next verse says, it should be employed to enhance this. The benefit of our devotional service, whatever may come of our devotional service, should simply be utilized to further enhance our hearing and chanting activity, or engaging others in the practice of hearing and chanting. That's what our life should be made up of, according to these verses. Now, maybe we'll come back and make some review, but at least I want to make sure I cover these basic points. The next section that comes is 11 through 15. So did anyone find in section that includes 11 through 15 any of the answers to the questions by the sages? Krishna Kripa did.
You mean besides question 1?
Besides question 1 and besides question 2. Krishna Kripa?
Besides question 2.
I found one. Jagura Sundar? Huh? Yes. Okay, no, be specific. Which verse? What's the question? What's the answer? Text 11 is the science of Godhead. So question 5 of the sages to Sutra Goswami was question 5. What did all of the great acharyas, what teaching did you learn from them about the science of Godhead? So this is kind of slipped in the middle of this discussion of the execution of Dharma in its perfection. The identification of the personality of Godhead and his different features. Science of Godhead, text 11. That's not a complete answer, because there's many other verses in this chapter that also discuss that. Then in text 12 through 15, I have, sorry, anyway, 12 through 15, I have written down that, actually I stole this one from Boy John's Srimad Bhagavatam study guide. But it's speaking about Dharma not only in terms of execution, which is what the earlier verses are doing, 6 through 10, but 12 through 15 are now describing the goal more. Emphasis is there on obtaining Krishna. What is not only how to do, but what should your objective be in the execution of devotional service? It's meant for realization of the absolute truth. Again, the comment is made not for material gain. This detachment in Bhagavad Gita is also a very, very important topic. How to detach oneself from fruitive mentality. How to perform, for a devotee, you don't simply sit in an idle way. We're actively engaged in so many varieties of activities. Because of that, how are we to detach ourselves from fruitive consciousness? So text 14 of chapter 2. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, of course, then what follows is the other activities, glorifying, remembering, worshipping the personality of Godhead. We'll hear more about each of these. Remembering specifically is singled out. Worshipping is also singled out as being particularly important. In the very next verse, text 15, remembering is singled out. So, remembering alone is sufficient to cut away the reactionary labyrinth of material existence. Just by remembering Krishna. So what is the how do we be successful in remembering? By proper hearing and chanting. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. So remembering Krishna becomes possible by proper hearing and chanting. And then it's saying by proper remembering, then automatically the reactionary work is cut. How do you keep your mind fixed? This is discussed in Bhagavad Gita also. How do you keep your mind fixed on Krishna if material impulses or tendencies, reactions to previous material activities are coming in intervening? This is a practical problem we all face whenever we're chanting. So many things are in our mind due to previous activities. Even in devotional service, our mind is not on the chanting activity or the name, but on so many other things. The proper practice of the hearing and chanting activity gives rise to remembrance of Krishna. And then this remembrance of Krishna can carry into the course of our other practical duties in devotional service. Akila Dharma, the book.
Does this fit in with question one in terms of how to put the masses?
Yeah.
Like a how to part of the answer.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Exactly. It's already 5 minutes, almost 5 minutes to 12, so I'm under the pressure. So okay. In the next section, which goes 16 to 23. Are there any answers to the questions by the sages found here that anyone discovered? I found some. Yes, sir.
Good question, 5.
Yeah.
I thought text 17 was you. I thought you wanted, like, also the significance of the size of God or hearing. And so there's something that it cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the ability.
Okay. Anyone else? Anything else?
Yeah, well, what was the question?
I know. It's about the sages, about hearing the sages.
Go ahead.
While
you're looking up, is there anyone else?
Okay,
that goes in?
I think the last answer to the last gender, the religion meant to laugh and kiss on that. On 17th and 18th.
Oh. Let's see. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So you're saying that's the answer to the last question, where religious principles have taken shelter. So are you taking that in a very broad sense, that wherever the hearing and chanting activity is going on, that's where religious principles are to be found? That's what you're taking it as. Okay, there's one verse which we'll come to. It says specifically, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is the embodiment of, is where religious principles have taken shelter. Then you could extend that to say, and anyone who's engaged in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's what that verse is saying, by the recitation of Bhagavatam, religious principles are there.
Also, that purport emphasizes a little bit more in the first paragraph that Krishna is actually the same as the chanting about him. Yeah.
Okay. Prabhupada?
Sorry, I missed yesterday.
It's okay.
I'm asking is the 16th verse of the first chapter considered to be a question here and there? Who is their design builders and the vices? Because it seems to me that this section is 17 to 23 is a process of being delivered from vices. Is
that, the question specifically is, you're saying is, what is the means of deliverance from vices? What's the hearing and chanting process? That's
in
what is the all around good for everybody? Absolute all around good for everybody. That automatically includes deliverance from vices. It's not, again, it's not like there's a rigid thing with this. Yes.
It doesn't line up with.
Yeah. And as you notice, as we're going along also, the answers don't go, first he answers 1, and then he answers 2, and then he answers 3, and then he answers 4. In the first day we said this is not, it's not compiled in that way, for chronological, simplistic, linear minds. Yeah.
Well, so, question number 4, about the sages want to hear about the personality of Godhead and his incarnation. In text 23, it's not given all the...
Well, you're jumping ahead. We're going to 20. I'm sorry, my mistake. We're going to 22.
Okay.
22. 16 through 22. Well, I included text 20 because it speaks specifically Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, scientific knowledge of God. Now, it doesn't spell out what that scientific knowledge is, but it's something of a introduction to what will the verses that follow practically through the end of the chapter is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. So we've been given the process, the glorification of the process, and now we're getting some of that knowledge.
Okay.
of how the personality of Godhead enters into the world and cleanses the heart of the candidate and so on. So now I'm going to shuffle back a little bit. Yeah.
Question 5 to 16 and 18. In terms of the hearing from the sages.
Yeah.
Verses 16 and 18.
Certainly. It's more of question 2 and question 3 answers. Okay? So, in this little section, 16 through 22, it starts with our theme. That is, it's also simultaneously doing another thing, but as far as the theme, by hearing and chanting about the topics of the personality of Godhead, the Prabhupada explains in the purport that one, this is the most important qualification for going to Goloka, for being engaged in that process eagerly. And how does this whole thing begin, or how does it become invoked by associating with great souls? So it's these verses 16 through 22 very much are the Bhagavatam's representation of the verse by Rupa Goswami from Nectar Devotion beginning with Adau Shraddha. Tatak Sadhu Sangata, Vajna Kriya, Nartinaviti, Nishta, etc. So we can make some kind of a comparison with those verses, that the qualification is some initial eagerness to hear, or Adau Shraddha. Then the association with Mahats. Mahat Seva, by hearing and by rendering service to great souls, that attraction to know about the personality of Godhead becomes strengthened. And then text 17 indicates the Bhajana Kriya part. One begins the process of devotional service. But as one does begin the process of cultivating further these topics, sure enough, one will find that there are obstacles in the way due to one's own impurities of heart. And who hasn't experienced that? So, those impurities of heart become taken care of by Krishna for his truthful devotee. Now, this truthful devotee, again, refers to the qualification of the hearer, that they're actually sincere, as Arjuna was repeating. The qualification of sincerity. They act, satam is truthful. I truthfully want to come to the right conclusion of going back to Godhead. And therefore, I'm very, very attentive to hear as fully as possible the transcendental messages. So when Krishna sees that, then he helps from within the heart to remove the unwanted things there. And in text 18, up to the point where all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. This indicates the nishta stage, where went quickly through the anartanavritti stage all the way to the nishta stage. But it's in that one verse, almost destroyed to nil. That is to say, their anartas are still there, even in the higher stages, but almost completely destroyed. And then in text 19, I'm hoping we'll have time to stop at the end, so whatever questions are coming tomorrow, you'll be able to ask. Text 19, stittam satve prasidati. So one experiences complete happiness. Text 20 is also indicating Avam Prasanna Manaso, the stage of transcendental ecstasy is expressed, or the bhava stage is being indicated. Where great spiritual happiness, Prabhupada is indicating in the purport, the Shuddha Sattva stage is included here. And I also indicated here this scientific knowledge, Bhagavat Tattva Vigyana in text 20. is also being indicated. So I'll make a comment here and say that as we're hearing these steps very quickly described, in this same canto, we'll see it in its story form or pastime form with both Narada and Vyas. They narrate their own story, their own experience, and describe these stages. So again, the philosophy will be reinforced by the story, and the story will help us to recall the philosophy. And I'd also have faith that it's something that's tangibly, we can tangibly experience. I have a note here, compared to text 2 of this chapter. So if you look at text 2 of chapter 2. So Prabhupada is making the point that this in text 20, that this scientific knowledge is beyond what who is approaching by speculative knowledge can obtain. So that is to say, one who is qualified by the hearing process of Srimad Bhagavatam goes beyond the mode of goodness. So here in text 2, the indication is Shukadev Goswami, having heard Srimad Bhagavatam, has already surpassed the necessity of Brahminical initiation, which is a very unusual event. But Prabhupada is using these two, making similar comments in both purports, to emphasize the point that Brahminical achievements, or achievements pertaining to the mode of goodness, are automatically accomplished and surpassed. And it'll be explained later on in the same chapter also. That is, the personality of God is beyond the modes of nature, and one who hears topics about him is taken to the same position, beyond the modes of nature. That means automatically the benefits of goodness are bestowed upon one who is properly hearing, but even beyond those benefits, as Shukadeva Goswami is walking down the road, without undergoing second initiation, just by hearing alone is sufficient. So we have 15 minutes. Text 23. Oh, we're doing text 20, 21, 22. This Bhagavad Tattva Vijnana is identified in 21 as having perfect knowledge of everything material and spiritual. That is, it's not only hearing topics of Krishna's Rasa Lila dance, but it's hearing all these things that are being described, sarga and disarga, like we heard in class this morning. That's coming up in these next upcoming texts. Information of how the fact in text 23. Okay, so in the next group, I'm putting as a group texts 23 through 29. The general description of the process of devotional service as a way of worshiping Lord Vishnu, or you say as a theme, that whole section is describing the singular importance of worship of Vishnu as opposed to worship of any other expansion or part and parcel of Vishnu. All forms of worship are ultimately meant for worshiping Vishnu, and all interests to satisfy someone ultimately have their purpose in satisfying Vishnu if they're performed properly. This is the Bhagavatam's message in this section. In a couple of places, Srila Prabhupada also indicates this as an offense to think of some entity existing separate independent and equally powerful to the personality of God, just like our second offense in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. I want you to just take a quick look at text 23. There's some similarity to the message of text 23 with the verse Ete Changsa Kala Pung Sang Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, the verse where all the incarnations are listed and then Krishna is the source of all of them. So here he's saying that Krishna assumes that the qualitative personalities, the guna avatars, for taking care of the cosmic manifestation. And indirectly, because of those guna avatars associating with the modes of nature, indirectly the Lord is also, can be said, associating with the modes of nature. But then, so Achinchaveda Veda Tattva is starting to come in. It was already introduced in the preface verses of this, of the first chapter. Now it's coming in a little more detail. He's associating indirectly, but not directly. We can say he's the Lord is transcendental to the modes of nature, but he's directly overseeing the activities of the modes. And that, so Krishna is being indicated by this verse 23. Krishna's expansions are the ones who are doing all these things having to do with material creation. Krishna is the original source of all those expansions. So far, still the text is still dealing with grades of worship, and text 26, there's some glorification of the Anasuyavas, those persons who are also beyond the modes of nature, and they're simply attracted to the worship of Vishnu. So it's saying it now both ways. One who becomes the worshipper of Vishnu goes beyond the modes of nature, and the other side is saying those who are beyond the modes of nature, they're only attracted to the worship of Vishnu. Verses 28-29, also an often quoted and very nice verse, Vasudeva Para Veda, Vasudevam Para Makha. The aim of life is being identified. Simply to be engaged in the service of the Personality of Godhead, and in the purport, Prabhupada takes the opportunity to introduce our theme again, that this becomes possible through the association of great souls. So in our last section, I'm going to run out of time, so the questions at the end. In this last section, 30 through 34, there's a kind of mixture of answering question 5, which is the science of Godhead, and also it's a bit of a preparation for explaining the Lord's advent, which comes in text 34. The purpose of the Lord's advent, we were calling that question 3. So the answer to that is found in text 34 of this chapter. So what prepares us for that why the Lord comes explanation is describing the workings of the Lord's energy, technically this is called Shakti Parinamvad, much like we were hearing in class this morning, like the spider through some opening of his body, he generates the web. So the same way the Lord is creating, what was the Sanskrit word indicating that from class this morning?
Visarga.
That which is exploding or expanding from its own self. So this is the same idea that's being discussed here, text 30. The Lord's business, or the affair of creation, is simply an expansion of His own energy. So there's the oneness and difference factor being indicated by transformation of His own energies. And yet, He remains unchanged, although His energies are expanding. Very, very essential to Vyasadeva's philosophy found in Vedanta Sutra that's also making its appearance in a very clear way here in text 30. Then he enters into that creation, like the spider. These verses are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere also, the spider climbing around his web and then withdraws the web later on. So Paramatma comes and he enters into that which he has created, although he's untouched by it. So the example, very nice example, from the churning of butter you get milk. You can't see the butter floating around in the milk until you begin churning it, but butter is there. And another metaphor, from wood, fire is stored, and under proper conditions the fire will come out. So also the creation of the Lord is His potency, and that potency expands upon His desire. Then nice text 33 is indicating a very important thing, which will also be explained further later, but the mind, the role of the mind as the interface between the Paramatma, who is transcendental, and the material creation. Where, how we think things to be happy or distressful is all a factor of a condition of mind. And according to Paramatma's arrangement, the mind thinks this is very nice or this is very distressful. And we're given a suitable body to fulfill our required enjoyment to suffer through the agency of the mind. It's only quickly mentioned and then it goes on. But this idea will be expanded upon later. Then the purpose of the Lord's incarnation, to canvas the conditioned souls in that which the Lord has just created, to attract them back to Him. So that winds up chapter 2. And we have to cover chapter 3 in 5 minutes. So I don't think... Anyway, I'll... Are there any questions? Yes, Arjun?
Maharaj stated that explicitly indicated that Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary to Vedanta Sutra.
Yes.
What was the reference?
In the beginning of the chapter, this is, it says the Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedanta Sutra. Want to follow me?
He was saying that hearing is essential in all devotional service. But sometimes he said that by engaging in one aspect of the nine, we can achieve.
Right. And the answer to that is that for all of any one of the other nine, how do you know about deity worship except through hearing? How do you know about prayer? How do you know about anything except through hearing? And then for the process of hearing to take place, there has to be someone to hear from. You have to hear from the right person. You have to be able to identify who is Mahat in order to render seva. So that exchange, the theme comes again and again and again. We'll see as we go, what time allows us. It comes again and again, even in this chapter and throughout the Bhagavatam. So you have a further point?
As far as hearing from the right person and seeking that person, naturally we hear from whoever's speaking in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So sometimes we may consider that they're faulty in character. But still, to encourage everyone to speak, we mention, because especially in some temples it's very limited personnel to speak. So we allow someone, though,
sure,
to not be completely sure. Like you said yesterday, one must be completely free of all vice.
Right. Papa says it very clearly. So in the purport to that free from vice, he indicates the four regular principles. Not the other notion that you're bringing up, that one who has no flaw in their character in any way. So ideally we want the most, not just the person who has the most charisma to do the speaking, but the person whose practices are most humility, complete and devotional. And that they're versed in the scripture so they can speak according to the statements and conclusions properly. Yes?
Using the text 28-29 in answer to your question too.
28-29? Is an answer to which?
Question 2.
Yeah. I kind of quit on making those comparisons. I didn't comment because of time. Anything further? Yes.
What the question was,
Ganesha, you said?
For the Kamalini session?
Yeah, and you explained, you know, like, you have to be very qualified. You have to be free from all vices and that. But if we take a practical example, like in some temples, there's no personal to do that, and so we may have some immature body who's chanting 16 rounds and
following the regular principle.
Yeah, it's giving you the lecture, but then it's not like enlightening. So what do we want from a Bhagavatam class? We want
just to repeat the message that was given in disciple succession.
Yeah, but then we want that we get enlightened by that message. Like you have speakers who are very much qualified, and they can make the audience cry and they get very much enlightened by that.
Well, we know that you're raising that for a purpose. It's obviously that's not what we're looking for.
No, that cry doesn't mean it's artificial. It means they're really feeling some feeling from that speaker speaking.
So, you're asking a practical question. So, within our institution, one who is an elevated devotee will become very pleased to hear the words of a less experienced devotee simply repeating the message of Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami from the Bhagavatam. Why? Because it's nectar. And this, by taking the nectar, this person will become greatly advanced. They're appreciating the process. It's not the same appreciation as one that same hearer might get by hearing a far more qualified speaker. So there's practically speaking, there's variegatedness in our experience in this class. That's one practical way to look at that situation. I've been in that situation where a very, you know, much newer person is giving class, and it's nice to see them trying to, you know, construct. And it's not the same experience as someone who's, you know, construct. And it's not the same experience as someone who's very qualified, who's already gone through what this individual has gone through, and now they're very, very capable, presenting very nice understanding of deep realization. And so it's part of the process. It's part of our responsibility in Krishna consciousness. It's nice to have those opportunities and seek those opportunities where very, 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 very eminently qualified speakers can speak, but we're also dealing with younger devotees also. You follow? You're not moving your head one way or the other.
But I'm just trying to see the practical result of it. Everything being born by...
We try to have the most qualified speakers speak. And therefore, in some places, one person or two persons may be the principal speaker.